All right, guys, just getting things set up here on my end. Let's see, who do we have? Hey, Lee, great to see you here. Janelle, great to see you. Welcome back. Hannah, welcome. Hey, while we wait for everybody, guys, just for fun, if you let me know in the chat area, what's a great series on Netflix to binge watch? I am in need of a recommendation, something my wife and I will enjoy. I've seen quite a few. Many of them are wonderful, and it doesn't have to be Netflix. It could be Hulu. We got that. We got Amazon Prime. Curious if you've seen anything recently that was cool, that's worth maybe staying up a little bit later than you should, because there's one more episode. Let me know what you like. I know one. I actually started this the other day, but I'm gonna see if my wife will tag along. It's the in Hulu 11/22/63, Stephen King's story. Read the book. We both read the book actually a few years ago, and just watched the first episode over the weekend. Really, really good. See, Kelly says, "Hey, Kelly, welcome," and Ruthie, welcome. Kelly says, "If you like science fiction, I recommend Altered Carbon." Wow, I'd never even heard of that. All right, cool. I have to check that out. Lee agrees. Watch it, huh? Ruthie, agree. Okay, so you guys have talked me into it. Altered Carbon. It's not even showing up on my. You know, I got. I don't know if this is the reason, but like I'm stuck in this loop with Netflix. You know, a few years ago, you couldn't set up profiles. Like everyone in your family was like watching the same thing. Like everyone was in the same profile, if you will. And so my kids would watch like their kids shows. My wife would watch, you know, just the nonsense that she watches. And then I would watch a few things. And then so like Netflix, but then that became my own profile. And now I'm left with recommendations that make no sense for me, and a lot of stuff that shows up for recommended and just whatever shows up. It's just a lot of stuff. I'm like, what is this? This is not me. Like Real Housewives type stuff, and I just don't, you know, I don't want to watch that. So yeah, I feel like I need to like hit the reset button somehow and start all over. Hannah says, "Marvelous Mrs. Maisel." Yeah, you know what? My wife's been watching that one. She really enjoys it. I feel like I'm too far behind though. So like I need to find something that we can both start from scratch so we can. That's kind of like our thing, you know? The Expanse. Great sci-fi. Okay. Yeah. So you can use a thumbs down button to dislike series. I've been trying to train it with that. I need to get into that habit, Janelle. That's a good point. Yeah, we got Thomas the Train next to Deadpool. Same, that's what mine looks like. And you know what happened? So here's where the loop comes in. It's like all documentaries and then Deadpool and then Thomas the Train, right? And because like documentaries out of those three things is the only one that I'll actually watch. So I watch documentaries. Well, now it's thinking that that's all I want to watch. So my whole feed there is like just for the adult stuff is all documentaries. I'm like, I don't just want to watch documentaries. It's Friday night. You know, I don't want anything serious. Ozark. Oh, loved Ozark. Yeah. So we binge watched that. Narcos, I watched the first two seasons and then I stopped once they caught Escobar. I just couldn't get into the third season, but I hear Narcos Mexico is really good. Erica says Titans. Comic book series, also on Prime. We like Transparent, Parks and Recreation, and 30 Rock. I've heard these recommendations before, so that's good to know. Watership Down, never heard of it. Good, okay. All right, I'm gonna have to save this. The good thing is Zoom saves this little transcript for me. Ruthie's getting Lucifer. Lucifer is one I really like. I'm into the second season. Okay, good. I'll have to look that up. This is great, guys. Thank you. Hopefully you picked up a few ideas of your own. cool stuff. All right, so let's get going. As usual, you know, I like to start on a positive note here. Would love to know if you can just go back to the chat area, just like where you were, type in a capital W, and share a win with a group. Now, just a reminder, a win can be anything big or small, and it's really a win as you define it. It could be maybe an aha moment, a breakthrough. You got a response from somebody you were hoping to get a response from. Something's really looking good in terms of a proposal you have out there. You landed the client. You raise your fee. You mustered up the courage to raise your fee on a project, and it got accepted. Whatever it is, just let me know. So type in a capital W. Don't be shy. There's no right or wrong here, and this is not a contest to see who's got the most impressive win. Let me know. Capital W in the chat area. This is good, guys. This is giving me some good ideas here. Thanks for the recommendations. All right. Lee says, an existing client approached me about a new project. Yay. Hey, there you go. That's awesome. Kelly says, I just set up my first Mailshake email campaign. Oh, very cool, Kelly. Great to hear it. Keep us posted. Let me know how that works out. Once you get the hang of it, I think it's going to save you quite a bit of time and ensure that you get better follow-up, of course, which is a big part of the process. Hey, Jack, welcome. Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you here. Let's see who else is here. Court, Erica. I think I've said hi to everybody else. Good stuff. All right. Ruthie says, I pushed back on a client who wanted me to take $200 off $600 worth of work. As a result, I'm doing the $400 worth of work for $400. There you go. That's a congratulations, Ruthie. See, those are the small steps that, first of all, they require courage, right? And second of all, that's how you get to a better level. Okay. It's making these tough decisions. Normally, you know, you might say, oh, okay, sure. But that doesn't get you anywhere, you know, anywhere you want to go. So congratulations on, just, you know, having the courage to do that. That's awesome. Janelle says, one of my clients let me know my content writing added hundreds of new subscribers to his email list each month and increased book sales. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. I bet. Did you get any sleep when I hear stuff like that? I'm on cloud nine and then it's hard for me to settle down. That's great feedback. All right. Erica says, the Elevate Facebook group is really great. I love the community feel and have many ahas over the past week. Wonderful. Great to hear that. Yeah, it really is a great community. I'm really glad that we combined it and merged it. I think you're starting to see the quality, the caliber of people in this community. And you see how giving they are. I mean, just like you have a question, you have a concern, you need feedback, you need encouragement. We're here and it's not just me, it's everybody. And these are some really seasoned people. I mean, the kind of people I'm really honored to be working with and honored to be in this community, with them. So good to hear that, Erica. Oh, Janelle says, I just heard it this morning, so I've been flying high. There you go. Oh man. Wonderful. Good stuff. Okay. Curious what everyone is working on right now. So everyone's got a different game plan, right? Everyone's working on very different things. And I would love to know, we can type in capital P for project in the chat area. Just let me know what your focus is right now in terms of our work together. You know, are you working on positioning? Are you working on putting together a marketing plan? Are you working on qualifying, pricing? Are you working on productivity, designing a better week? You know, what is your focus this week? If you've got a couple of things, that's fine, but just let me know kind of like the main thing. I type in capital P in front of it. Lee says, I'm finalizing my positioning so I can move on to my website. Wonderful. And I know you said you were going to come in today, Lee, and we're going to talk a little bit about that so I can give you feedback. And yeah, that'd be wonderful. Happy to do that. Ruthie says, got through the cash flow class and now I'm focusing on positioning and website. Excellent. And it says executing marketing plan, reach out to my contacts and have been sending 5 warm emails per day. Hey, that's great. Love that. Erica, zeroing in on my target market so I can rewrite my website. Sounds like Lee and I are on the same page. Yeah, I saw that you guys are collaborating there. I love that. Kelly says, still working on ensuring that warm meal prospecting becomes a weekday habit. Wonderful. Jack says, finish website, starting autoresponder series. Wonderful, Jack. Yeah, and I'm assuming that is that tied to your new lead magnets as well? You got some great stuff there, man. So many opportunities for you, Jack. It's great to see you. Yeah, tied to your new lead magnets. Excellent. Good. Janelle says, still on website copy, but I refuse to go into next week without finishing. All right. We're going to hold you to that, Janelle. Good stuff. Way to stay on that. Let me know where I can help, okay? And, of course, once you have a draft that you feel fairly comfortable with, remember, this, you'll never be 100%, okay? So don't wait until you're at 100% before just moving forward. Let me know, and I'll be happy to do a website review for you, website copy review. Okay, guys, so let's chat. Where can I help you? What do you need help with? Just type in capital Q in the chat area. Give me an idea. You don't have to type in the whole question or give me the whole backstory there. I'll unmute you, and we can have a conversation. All I ask, though, is just be prepared to keep your question focused and specific. As you know, the more specific you are, the better I can help, right? Broad questions, I'm going to ask you follow-up questions so we can drill down and see what the challenge is and where we can get you moving forward. One question per person, I can always come back to you. We always have plenty of time. I just want to give everyone a chance. And if applicable, tell me one or two options you're considering, if it's that kind of question, right? If you're kind of trying to narrow it down between one option A or option B, let me know how you're thinking about it. And while you're doing that, let me check pre-submitted questions. In fact, that's a reminder to everybody. If you know you're not going to be able to make a call, but you want me to address something in the call, you can always pre-submit questions. Each call has its own page, each Momentum call, and you can just put it in there anytime, way ahead of time, days or even a week in advance or whatever. Now, if you're going to be here, it's better if you don't pre-submit, because if you know you're going to be here, we can just have a conversation, okay? But, of course, if you're not, then you can always put it in there. Okay, and I see that Lee has, which is good, so I can take a look at it while we talk. So, Lee, why don't let me unmute you. Lee, welcome.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Doing well. It's your first call, I think, right?
My first official call. I made it in and out of the last one, but our power was having problems here, and so I was that Samsung that kept showing up and disappearing.
Oh, okay. I was wondering who that was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but this time I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Perfect. Okay, so we want to talk about your positioning.
I'm working on positioning, yeah. And I sent you way too much information because I didn't know how much background you needed, but I went through the positioning exercise, and I think I've come up with a completely new niche, but I do think that it makes sense for me with my background. And
okay.
So right now I'm looking at, it's a bit broader than what I was doing before, but I'm looking at business software, kind of, you know, office automation, project management type stuff.
Okay.
Those lines. And I do have, it's one thing I've never considered before, anything tech software, not because I'm not comfortable with it, but I haven't worked in it in a long time. It's been over a decade since I've been a tech person. I used to do actually tech support and network administration and actually some programming, but it's been a while. And so I always kind of assumed that I would, if I went that direction, I'd be writing for tech people for the IT division. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that anymore. But then I realized, you know, after going through the exercise, that I have this huge background. I'm still involved in using tech as an end user. And I write about it occasionally for another client, you know, as as something, you know, finding cool tools for freelancers to use, for example, is a typical topic of article. And I realized that I can explain really complex stuff to non-technical people really well. And so it just seemed like everything was pointing in that direction. So I've been very excited about this all weekend as I was going through the exercise, driving my husband crazy. So I can't wait till Tuesday so I can tell Ed.
I like it. Okay, so that I like how you're thinking about it, because it sounds like by going through the exercise, I'm suspecting something stood out for you in terms of like demand and in terms of kind of viability, right? Kind of what drove you in this area, because before you were kind of thinking coaches, consultants, and so forth.
Right, which I think would be an awesome field, except I know that many, many, many coaches and consultants do their own writing.
Yeah.
So that's what was making me think I need to have something else in there. And it was, Jennifer Guilforth Gregory's book that she talks about. I know she's in another group that I'm in with you. And I got her book, and she talks about how she likes to tell people to, whatever your niche, to find a B2B software aspect to it if you can, because you'll expand your opportunities so much. And so as I was thinking about that, coaching software, and I was like, why not all software?
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So let's kind of pick it apart a little bit, just to kind of make sure that it checks all the boxes. And you saw my video on this, right? Where so this right here, top left quadrant, would be your inventory, and in terms of your background, experience, skills, and so forth. So, in terms, if we look at just this category, business software, it's the experience you have from back then, right?
I've been a software trainer. I've done tech support. I've done network administration. Plus, I am currently a business software user as one of the, you know, the target audience of these companies.
Yeah. All right.
I work on a computer all day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's good. I would put it here last, and you probably have there last, because it's not the strongest one. I mean, we can all say that, right? But you have these other things that many others don't have. Now, the pros is that, you know, you're way ahead other people because they don't have that. The downside is it's been a while, but, you know, it has, in tech years, 10 years is a while, but you're not looking to impress everybody with what you have right now. Keep in mind, you're only trying to land 2-3 clients. In fact, let's just talk about one client. You're trying to find someone who, based on this, that's good enough. You know what I'm saying? Because you just need a shot. You just need a shot. So my 16-year-old son, we've been getting on him about, you know, he wants a car this summer. And I said, well, you got to get a job, you know, because we'll pitch in, but you're going to have to buy your gas. You have to buy your maintenance, pay for that, help with insurance. And he has no work experience. So he's done some work for me. He does, you know, work around the house and all that, but no real work experience. So yesterday, a friend of his works at Dunkin' Donuts. And he said, dude, they're looking for people. They'll hire you on the spot. Well, guess what? Literally, they hired him on the spot. And that's what he needed, right? He's got no work experience. He's applied in a few other places. Nobody's ever called him back. It doesn't matter. He just needed someone who will give him a chance. And let's just say he spends 6 months there. Hopefully, he'll spend longer. But then now he's in a different category, right? So now he'll have something he can leverage and get, you know, now he can get a job at Publix, you know, the grocery store, or somewhere else that maybe might work better for him. So right now, you just need to leverage what you have to establish yourself in this new target market and just find one client And then now you have this stuff plus new client. You know what I'm saying? Like you have more currency.
Yeah.
So that's good. In terms of your network, so tell me, you know, how did that look?
Okay, so that's not great, but that's not great for me on anything. I do have an actual really good friend who works for a company that can describe it as like electronics, and they do software for their electronics, and he is not a tech person, but he's in the training department, and so he has all sorts of contacts outside of the company through that. And so I'm definitely going to be contacting him just to see if he's got any contacts that I might be able to leverage. Otherwise, I don't know anybody in the field, so it's all going to be cold.
Okay. So you know one person, everybody else is, you know, would be cold. So that, you know, depending on how you look at it, I'll put check here for inventory network. I'm going to say either check or check minus, which is okay.
Okay,
because you have something.
I think you're being rather generous, but okay.
So I'm going to put check minus. That's the lowest score you could get. So then the demand, so, you know, obviously anything tech related is going to be mm-hmm. great there, right? So that's check plus. And then in terms of topics and people, I mean, I'm assuming, and based on what you told me, it sounds like you enjoy
this stuff.
It. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. You know, one of my big things, kind of an overriding a theme in my career as I was looking back over the last 25 years was that I'm all about helping people. And one of the things I love to do now is find these cool ways that people can work more efficiently. You know, for other clients, cool software tools is kind of the topic that I've done several articles for this one. And so, yeah, I'm kind of like looking for this stuff anyhow, just for fun. And
perfect.
I like to find ways to automate my own business. And my husband used to work as an engineer, so he is kind of into this stuff too. And so we're like discuss software that we discovered. You know, so it's not like, you know, I'm not a programmer anymore, but I do enjoy finding new stuff. I enjoy using it. You know, I'm not the type of person who's like, oh, I have to learn another program. It's like, oh, cool, what does this one do? That's more my attitude about it. So,
I think that's great. I think it's great. So I sense the enthusiasm there. The, as you know, the most important ones are the first three quadrants. The topics is not as important, but if you got that, mm-hmm. then that's great. I definitely always look at this because that's where it all starts. And I always mm-hmm. look at this one. So you're scoring fairly well in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
These are kind of the bare minimum ones because like if you don't have anything to bring to the table there that you can talk about, oh, I'm just interested in it. Okay, well, that's not going to be good enough. I mean, you can still go. And then there's no demand, right? They don't really write marketing materials. They don't really understand what content marketing is or do it. Then it's going to be a really tough road. You could know a lot of people and you could enjoy the stuff. You can know a lot of people there, but that's not going to be good enough. So, mm-hmm. you know, where you have a check minus is not in the most critical area. That just gives you an advantage. Mm-hmm. But these two are critical. So I think you're right on target. Now, when it comes to just be strategic when it comes to, your copy, but then also when you do your outreach, you don't want to go after enterprise software companies, right? You want to go after the...
I'm not going to be contacting Microsoft right away. Yeah.
Yeah. You want like the contact management tools like Evernote and those sorts of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, there's plenty there. Absolutely plenty there. And many times they're actually writing and targeting consumers. Sometimes they're targeting entrepreneurs or solo business owners like us. The FreshBooks of the world would be, you know, another category. Yeah. So I think that's great. There's plenty there. Mm-hmm. There's plenty there without you having to then get into like hardcore enterprise software. Yeah. So I like it. I like it. And now just keep in mind that, you know, mm-hmm. because of this, you're going to have to do extra work, right?
Yeah.
Because you have one contact, that's cool, leverage that. But that means that it's going to, we're going to get into, you know, your prospecting plan and all that, but it's just keep that in mind. That's okay though. You can make up for that. I always think of it as like a race. You know, you have, this is kind of like the racetrack and, you know, starting finish line. And rather than starting, you know, here, you kind of like, you're further back. So does that mean you're not going to be able to get to the finish line? No, it just means like this guy, you know, okay, this guy's got an advantage. You know, you might be here, but you're not racing against anybody. That's the other cool thing. So that's all.
Right. Everybody gets a medal. So yay.
Exactly. So this would be the kid, going back to my example earlier, this is a kid who's already got 2 years of work experience. And this is my son. He's got nothing. But guess what? He leveraged what he did have, a friend, you know, who already works there. So that's why he got hired on the spot. So guess, and if in 6 months, he's going to be here.
Cool.
So, yeah. Does that help kind of confirm your decision?
It does, and I appreciate you going through the exercise. I thought that I was doing it right, but since I am new to the process, I was like, I might just be getting excited about nothing here. So I was really looking forward to talking through it with you on this, and I really appreciate that.
Perfect, absolutely. When you write your copy, one last little tip that's kind of in the weeds, always offer examples, because business software can feel like a really broad category. You know, so give examples in terms of, you know, especially in areas of productivity and A and B and C.
Okay, great.
You know what I'm saying? Like anytime you can offer a little bit of detail, that can help.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, eventually I might actually end up kind of niching myself in further if I end up
with
a couple of clients in a certain area or something, but I didn't want to limit it just yet.
You absolutely will, and in fact, here's what will happen: is, you know, you are. So this is everyone. This is too broad, right? This is, let's just say B2B. That's still too broad. Now it's business software, which is great. That's a sweet spot. And this would be, let's just say, productivity tool apps. I don't know. Just to offer an example. So normally I say, look, this is when you are pivoting like you are right now, Lee, this is the no-fly zone. Okay? And you really kind of want to be in the middle. That's a sweet spot.
Cool.
However, it's this down here is no-fly zone when you're pivoting. What will happen is as you start getting clients and getting traction, you'll be able to move down and narrow down even further if you want.
Great.
And, but that will come based on practical experience and practical field level know-how, not theory. Like right now would be theorizing on that. So yeah, you pick the right sweet spot.
Great.
All right.
That's awesome news. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Exciting.
Yeah.
Keep us posted.
Oh, I will.
All right. Good stuff. Let's see here. Ruthie asked, would it be worth it to take an old writing piece and brush it up? I've had success with that in the past. I wonder, was this a question for me or a suggestion for somebody? Let me see. Hey, Ruthie, are you? Oh, yeah, you're unmuted.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't like a real question. I was just kind of commenting as you and Lee were talking. Sorry.
Oh, okay. No, no worries. So tell me, just so I understand and Lee understands, so what, in what regards? So an old, what do you mean by old?
Well, so you mentioned, as you and Lee were talking, and this is my first call, so I'm kind of hearing everybody's stuff for the first time. But when you and Lee were talking, I got the impression that while she has experience and excitement for this particular niche, her experience is a bit older. And so I just said that, you know, would it be worth it to potentially take up?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because, and maybe not like just for, you know, nothing, but if you come across like a prospect where like, you know, you have a piece that if you brushed it up and made it a little more, you know, more relevant to today, like, you know, and then you could kind of use that in your outreach or whatever. I did that with a couple of pieces when I was still writing for like health and fitness. I took some pieces that I had done for college and just kind of extracted the information. And it took maybe like 30 minutes to put together something that I was able to use to land the client at that time. So it was just a thought that came up. And so I was just kind of, that's what all my comments are. I was just kind of making comments while you guys were talking. And now I see.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. I think that's a great idea. 100%. I'm glad you brought it up. It's definitely leverage what you've got. I mean, again, I think if you go into it with this thinking, oh yeah, but you know, that's not going to really impress a lot of people, or what if somebody sees this or says that, or, you know, triggers something, you know, you can't really think about it that way. And so to your point, Ruthie, is just like work with what you've got and just freshen it up. And it's really a temporary thing, isn't it? Because
yeah.
once you start landing clients, you know, again, like that's why I said, look, you just need, once you have a new client or two, then, you know, suddenly like this stuff, not that you take it away, but it's not the core of your message, right? You talk about it, but what you're really now starting to talk about is this, and which is now the recent experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really a temporary bridge to get you to this new place. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it up. That's a great idea. Hey guys, let me, something's wrong with my Zoom account. I just noticed this and it's thinking that I'm in a free account, even though we have a fully paid pro plan. It's asking me to go ahead and click on this button. My only concern, it's timing me down. I got 6 minutes left to do it. My only concern is if I do this, it might cut me off or end the call. If that were to happen, just try dialing back in, try joining back the call using the link, going to the call page, just like however you did it, and I should be there. Okay, hopefully none of that will happen, but I know that if I don't click on this button, the one thing's for sure is it's gonna suddenly end the call at some point. So let me try this and keep my fingers crossed. I don't think it ended the call, but for some reason. All right, do me a favor. If you guys can still hear me, just let me know in the chat area. Yep, okay, cool. Yeah, can't get rid of you that easily. Yeah. It's still... It's still... counting me down. I don't like that. All right. So let me do this. Let me put you guys on hold real quick and I see if I can bring Crystal in. And I would hate to lose the call because of also the recording is what I'm really concerned about as well. So just hold tight, guys. I'll be right back. All right, guys, I'm back. Crystal thinks she knows how to fix it. So you guys still here? I haven't lost you. Hopefully you are. Okay, cool. All right, sorry about that. Hopefully we can get this fixed. And in the meantime, Where is my chat area? Don't want to lose that. Okay. All right. I think I'm good. All right, guys. So I think Crystal just saved us. She's going to probably join us and let us know. But all right. So let me track back. I know there were a couple other questions here. Again, guys, at any point, if you have any questions, just type in capital Q and give me an idea of what you'd like to talk about, and I'll bring you in.
Hey,
Jacob had a question. Hey.
It's Crystal here, just popping in. Did the message go away for you?
Yeah. It's cool. It was great because it just told me right away, okay, you're good. It just,
awesome.
It just told me.
Great.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Jacob has a question here. I always charge by the project rather than by the hour. I have a new potential client that wants to pay by the hour. It's an interesting scenario. Have you ever come across a situation where it's better to charge an hourly rate? Interesting. All right. So let me bring you in. Jacob, let's talk about this. Jacob, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. How are you doing?
Doing well, my friend. So tell me about what their reasoning is. So it sounds like they're just saying, hey, no, we want to pay you by the hour.
That's the way they say they normally work with different freelancers. So basically they're interested in having me write case studies and blog posts for them. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that, or I guess the main reason why they like to charge by the hour is because their projects have no like set parameters. They're all over the place. So they'll have blog posts that are like 800 words, and then they'll have blog posts that are literally like 5,000 words. And so pricing out every single project, because they want me to write to them pretty regularly, they like to do by the hour rates. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm curious though, because even when that happens, what is a second question they're going to want to ask? Like, let's just say, okay, now we're talking about a 5,000 word post, which sounds like a nightmare, but, all right, Jacob, we got this 5,000 word post. Do you want to take it on? What's the next thing they're going to want to know? They know your rate. Let's just say we go that route.
Mm-hmm.
What's the second question?
I mean, I guess they might ask how long they think it'll take me.
Exactly, right? So at the end of the day, they're still going to need a project fee from you, right? I mean, even if they don't ask that question directly.
Right.
So I understand the reasoning. Here's the problem. So let me just tell you flat out, there's almost no situation where hourly is going to be better, because there are always ways you can get around the obstacle that's forcing them to ask for hourly, if that makes sense. So there are always ways around that. I always want to know, okay, well, what's the obstacle? Why would you want to go that route? Why do you prefer hourly? And I can't think of an instance where it's like, okay, well, then we are going to have to go hourly. I mean, if I did that, and I have said yes to it before, looking back, I could have found a way to keep it, to avoid hourly. Hourly just has way too many problems. I won't get into all of them, but one of the biggest ones is the more you do, the more efficient you get and the less you make. So you get penalized. Right. Second, I think it creates the wrong kind of environment and creative energy, you know, when you're doing work, because you start becoming a little anxious about, you know, this one's a little more complicated than I thought. On the surface, it doesn't look like it would be. But now that I'm really getting into it, it's really complicated. But now you start getting anxious about the fact that it's taking you so long. And then you start wondering, you know, they're going to believe me, or do they think I'm padding it?
Right.
You know, so it just creates an adversarial relationship, which you don't want, because now you're trying to justify it. It's just weird and awkward. Most of the time, and I'm not saying it's going to be like this for every project, Most of the time you're able to get around the big unknown. It's like, well, I don't know, that we don't know what we're getting in there, by breaking up the project into two parts. Part one is determining what needs to be done, right? And so kind of the audit plan mm-hmm. and recommendations. And then you charge a fixed fee for that because, well, I don't know what the end will look like, but I know what it would take to come up with a plan. Or have a better idea of that. And then you charge a flat fee, whatever, you know, $800.
Mm-hmm.
And then phase two is, okay, now that we have scoped it out and we can wrap our arms around it, then now I can quote that part. A classic okay. example is a website, right? It's like, man, our website's huge. We're just going to revamp the whole thing, take out pages, add new pages. So, you know, we don't know. So we need an hourly. All right. Well, what if in that situation, that approach makes perfect sense. All right. Let's scope it out and I will work with you to look at what's in there, what we want to get done, kind of design the content architecture. You know, a site map, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll charge X amount for that, and then once we have that, then I'll take a look at you know, what needs to be done, and then I'll charge you, I'll quote you a fixed fee for that phase two, or actually write in the copy.
Right. Okay, so you just recommend trying to get each. Just figuring out what they need for each project and then coming up with a fixed rate for that specific project.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also I think here's a second part of it. So now it's like, okay, well, they still, that's great, Ed. I get it, but they still want to know. That doesn't help them. Well, all right. So what about asking them? Okay. I understand that many times you just need to know, by the way, is this an agency or is this a direct client?
It's a direct client.
Okay. So maybe sometimes they want to know, yeah, but we don't want to call you or email you every time. You know, sometimes we need it for budgeting purposes.
Right. I think that's what they're thinking. They just want to send me the projects and kind of keep me busy that way.
Yeah. So in that case, you can give them kind of tighter ranges on. So let's just take the blog post, you know, mm-hmm. under 500 words between A and B. That's going to be the fee. 500 to 1,000, you know, between C and D. 1,000 to 2,000 between E and F. I mean, you could mm-hmm. do it that way. You know, if that's kind of their hang up, I think that's cool. That's a good sign. I would start worrying if their hang up is, no, we just don't want to work that way. You know, we just need mm-hmm. an hourly. Because if you say yes, if you agree to that, I'm just telling you, it's you're going to end up regretting it.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
What, yeah,
like, I get it. Like, sometimes we just want to land the client. I totally get that. But it's, you know, it's saying yes to that blind date that you're, you know, you're thinking, yeah, cool, I have a date Saturday night. But now it's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What did I just do?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. That's why I never work hourly, because I feel like I give up leverage that way too. You know, I just feel like if the client's okay to pay me $1,000 for something, then, you know, if I can get it done quicker, I'll make more money. If it only takes me 2 hours to do, it doesn't matter to the client and it works out really well for me. So I always prefer that. It's just this one client was, that's how they always work. And so I was just interested in your take on the whole situation. But I really like what you said. I think if I give them ranges for different, like project lengths and, stuff like that, I think that might work.
Yeah. And then again, then if you face the other situation where it's like, yeah, but we have this, we just don't know the scope, then okay, well, let's define a project to define the scope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the audit recommendation.
Right.
Audit, okay. Actually, audit planning and recommendations, or audit recommendations and planning.
Right.
Yeah, and well, I guess one last thing, Jacob, in terms of how to present it to them, I like to say these are talking points. This isn't exactly how you may want to say it, but I always, when I'm about to say something that goes against what they've asked me, I never start with the, I don't do that. I never start with a negative statement. You always want to agree and appreciate where they're coming from. So it's the feel, felt, found principle. It's like, hey, totally get it. I appreciate the request. I see where you're coming from, right? So you start with that. I have found that, so now it's the, but here's the problem. I have found that, it's very difficult to work that way. I know where you're coming from, but it presents several problems and it creates, you know, issues, especially with more complex projects. And at the end of the day, you know, you're still going to need to know how much this is going to cost. The way I have found works better, or that I prefer to work with clients is this way. And here are the benefits to you. Not forget about, it's not about you. It's about them, right? I found this works better for clients. And here's why. I'm not telling you how to do things or how to change things. I'm just saying, like, I have found, this works better and here's what it gives you.
Right. Right. Okay. That's great. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Ruthie had a couple of good points in here. In the chat, she said, are you going to be invoicing them or using their billing system? If you're sending the invoice, it shouldn't make any difference to them. I've given her rates for blogs of varying lengths. That works out really well. So she agrees about the ranges, as well. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Good stuff. Great. Well, hey, fingers crossed. I hope it, you know, you can make it work. I think if they can see that at the end of the day, they're still going to need to know the costs and you present it this way as it benefits them, then, you know, maybe you can continue the conversation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in my first conversation with them, they were open to set rates. So they weren't, it wasn't like they immediately shut me down on that. They just said they never worked that way. And so they asked me to kind of think about it and see what I wanted to do. So they're definitely open to it. I wanted your take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep in mind, one of the reasons is that you want to avoid it too. One of many, I remember actually it was many, but where you're trying to go, Jacob, you're going to scare people if you give them the rate that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you guys thinking, and for those of you who are not thinking along these lines yet, that's fine, okay? But I'm going to tell you where I want you to start thinking. I want you to start thinking at $150 an hour plus. Okay, now, before you freak out, I'm not saying you quote that. This is an internal rate. My business changed the day that I decided that that was going to be something I was going to shoot for. Now, I was scared, okay? I had a colleague say, I don't earn anything less than $150 an hour. And at the time I was, you know, in the 80s. And I realized that day that I was never going to break out of the cycle that I was in until I started thinking the way he was thinking. And he just thought bigger. And it just, if you start thinking along those lines, you will start finding the opportunities, believe me. And we can talk more about that, but the opportunities will come. There's so many of them. I'll give you one example. The more you do for a client, you keep your fixed fees the same for that type of project, your internal hourly rate goes up. You know, and $150 an hour is totally achievable. All those things become impossible if you're billing the client by the hour, okay? So, yeah, if you're trying to double your income and work less, this is part of it. So bringing in a client where that's going to happen, where you're forced to do by the hour, goes against the direction you're trying to go in.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Okay, great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Erica says, yeah, regarding the rate, I love it. And this is where I think NGOs might not be my target market. Ah, okay. Well, there you go. So Erica, I'm assuming that, with NGOs, they're kind of, they insist on an hourly rate. Is that the problem? Because I'm telling you, so not that these are NGOs or the same as NGOs, but I have worked with smaller companies that, I was making well over $150 an hour, you know, more like $200 an hour. Had I quoted them that, there was no way like that. We wouldn't even have had the first discussion, but because of, I was doing it the way I just described and the pricing approach that I talk about in the training. And then again, going deeper, offering complimentary services and just doing all kinds of things that allows me to cut down my time and energy invested in these projects, but keep the rate of the fees the same. Yeah, even small businesses, which would normally be completely out of the question in terms of earning that kind of money, that worked. So, yeah, yes, they're awesome. Send a lot of work, but they don't have a huge budget. Yeah, Erica. So I just unmuted you, by the way.
Hey, Ed.
Hey. So totally, yeah, I get it. So does that give, maybe help make the decision a little bit easier?
Kind of. I think where I am right now, I'm still feeling a little overwhelmed. I think the term in the video that you and Michael did last week was the universe of possibility. So right now I feel like, wow, there are a lot of topics out there and I'm not sure where my specialty lies just yet. I haven't really been able to go as deep into the exercise as I should have by now. But yeah, I'm thinking that there's a lot of opportunity to jump up quite a bit. And yeah, that's I don't really have any answers yet, but I'm pretty excited.
So here's another way to think about it, and maybe you've already arrived at this conclusion as well as one of the possibilities, but just in case, keep in mind, sometimes the decision to, in terms of what target market to focus on is very difficult because it feels so final. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I would have to say goodbye to all these other things, right?
Right.
But that's not really the case. What you're doing is you're driving a stake in the ground. You're saying, this is what I'm going to focus on. By doing that, you have end up having better results in that particular target market
mm-hmm.
because you're saying this is who I can best serve. Okay, number one. Number two, from a focus standpoint, in terms of your limited time and energy, you're able to focus your prospecting, for instance, mm-hmm. in this one target market. Think about all the good things that happen when you spend all your energy in one area, you get compounding results, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because LinkedIn is really focused now. Your warm email prospecting is really focused. All these other things are really, really focused. Word of mouth, referrals, all these things become easier because people kind of stay in the same circles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a great contact you've known for a long time in an NGO refers you to a colleague in a different NGO or a different department of that, and you look at the opportunity and it looks awesome. Does that mean you can't take it? No. You can take it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a nuanced difference here that I want you to remember, because it doesn't mean you say no to those things. What you're saying no to is, I'm not going to focus all my marketing time and attention
right.
on pursuing NGOs. Okay.
Yeah,
so when the right opportunity comes along, you know, if it's right, then take it.
Yeah. And that's a good reminder, because I tend to be pretty black and white in my thinking. And so what you were saying about it being final, that is exactly how it felt. But this particular NGO, I think I counted, I have 11 clients within that one organization. So they've referred me all over the place and they've been really great for my bread and butter. And so I definitely want to hang on to them while I'm doing this pivot. But it's a good reminder that, yeah, they're not, that I don't have to turn anything down. I just need to get focused.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you're going to have the right of refusal, first right of refusal with, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but with mm-hmm. opportunities that come to you, you know, a contact refers you to somebody, and you're now able to, for me, it was really awkward before I narrowed things down because like I had a referral. Hey, I'm going to refer you to my friend Jim. You know, he's in this business, and like, I didn't know how to say, yeah, that doesn't sound like something I want to do. Now I was able to say, hey, that's great, Linda. I really appreciate that. I'd be happy to correspond with Jim and see where he is, but let me just tell you, that's not my target market. I really focus on enterprise software companies, and mm-hmm. you know, I really don't know Jim's business. You know, I don't know insurance. I appreciate that, but I'd love to talk to him to see if maybe I can refer him to someone. It gives you that ability as well. Right. But when the right one comes through, it's like, wow, that sounds really exciting. Hey, you know what? That's not really my target market, but I'd love to talk with her and just see, you know, maybe yeah. I can help. And then you listen to the opportunity and you realize, wow, this is exciting. This is really cool. And she's excited. Like she really wants to work with me. You know, she's the one pursuing me.
Right.
So yeah, it's not, you're not saying no. It's really about focus.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually, I've noticed, even just since starting the program, I used to kind of say yes to everything. And, recently I got an email from somebody and he's B2C. And in my experience in the past, you know, their budgets are super tiny. So he asked for help with his website and I was procrastinating sending him a reply. And I was just like, oh, really not wanting to do it. And I thought, well, I don't have to. And so, I sent him another way, which was a little scary because I was saying no to work, but it was just something I didn't want to do at all. So, that felt kind of liberating at the same time.
Hey, that's a big step. I hear you. It can be nerve wracking. It's like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I always used to ask myself the question, what if there's no work next month? You know, yeah. And I just said no to this, right? But you have to trust. You have to trust project. You're moving in. Yeah, this is like the end of the world. And like, this is the last project ever. You have to trust that there's more and that you're moving in the right direction. You may have heard me use this metaphor. You're like this boutique touring company. You have this really cool bus and there's only 6 seats there. And, you know, you're going to spend a week with these people, taking them all over, I don't know, the Rockies or wherever. And you want to make sure that you can spend a week with these people. It's not about filling seats. It's about filling up the right seats.
Right.
Well, filling the seats with the right people, I should say.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. As opposed to the retail store mentalities, like I call it, you know what retail stores are like, right? The doors are open. Anyone can come in and buy something. Right. Unless you're being obnoxious, or shoplifting or doing something crazy, they're going to take your money. You know, this is a different kind of business. It needs to be a fit.
Yeah.
Because it's a relationship. It's, you're not selling them a product off the shelf. You're selling them your talent, your knowledge, your experience, and there's interaction there. And it is a relationship. So you want to make sure that everybody counts.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Cool. Well, let me know how I can, you know, as you continue to dig deeper, Erica, let me know how I can serve you. At some point, you will have to just kind of make a decision and just reminding yourself that this is not permanent. It's not the end of the world. It's, you know, based on everything I've done, I think this is maybe the better scenario. And let's just see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Let me know how I can help.
I will. Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome. And by the way, hey, Ruthie, so I didn't say welcome. I didn't realize this was your first call. I thought I had talked to you last week. I just unmuted you. So welcome formally to the group.
Thanks.
It's great to have you here.
Yeah, I think I actually like officially signed up like an hour after the last Momentum call or something.
Yeah, you're like, you know, like at the amusement parks when he's like, okay, I think we're going to make it this time. And then they like put the chain in front of you, like right there. It's like, oh, we didn't make this group again.
Yeah, but I did listen to, I think, most of the last call. I had a car ride that was kind of long, so I listened to it there and on the way back. So.
Oh, good. Okay. Excellent. Well, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be. That's why I'm so chatty in the comments, by the way. It's kind of I'm just like, I'm staying engaged. And so I'm like, oh, and so I'm just kind of typing.
no worries. This is great. I love, and I love when the chat kind of takes a life of its own too. So don't be shy about you guys corresponding with each other too. And that's why, by the way, I always say, hey, put this letter in front of your question or your comment so I know it's for me.
Right.
I don't miss it. All right. So it's an open floor right now, guys. Let me just double check. But yeah, if you typed in a question earlier or you meant to and I missed it, please let me know. I don't see any questions right now. So let me know if you'd like to discuss something. They don't have to be questions. You maybe want to run something by me. You want to get feedback on a situation. Want to get clarity on something. That's what these calls are about. I'm curious, while I'm waiting, if you could type in capital V in the chat area and let me know what's been most valuable so far in our conversation today. It could be something you and I discussed, something you heard from a discussion I had with somebody else, something you saw in the chat. Just curious, see what's been useful so far in the conversation. So let me know in the chat area. And while I'm waiting, I want to go back to this idea of, you know, the moment you can start telling yourself, I'm going to make this number my minimum internal hourly rate. I'm telling you guys, things do change. I'm not saying that it's easy to make that declaration. I'm not saying that it won't make you nervous. I think it's perfectly normal. But I challenge you guys this week to give that some thought. If you have a way to calculate or even approximate what you're earning right now internally, whatever that is, I want you to challenge yourself to make a massive increase there. So like I told you guys, I was about, you know, mid-80s, I believe, when I had this conversation with a colleague of mine who was a few years ahead of me. And when he told me 150, it just suddenly made it real for me. And I'm telling you, it was a matter of weeks or maybe a couple of months before I was well on my way to that level. It didn't take years. Just making that declaration to myself was really the biggest step in what I needed. Somehow doing that, then everything else kind of started falling into place. I started thinking and acting differently. And then eventually I moved that up. $250 an hour was kind of where I, you know, that ended up being my minimum there toward the end. 250, like anything less than that, I'm not going to really look at it. And you know what? It worked. 250 became easily, you know, my minimum. Okay, let's see. We've got some good stuff here. Hannah says, so far it's been, no new leads yet for my prospecting. I'd like to get to 10 warm emails out per day. By the time I'm done with client work, I have time to get about 5 emails out before 5 or 6 p.m. Does it make more sense to keep sending emails after hours, or should I do prospecting in the morning and client work later? Yeah, the time isn't really as critical, Hannah, because these emails – so here's where the time of day and the day of the week makes a bigger difference – is when you are dealing with traditional email marketing, like marketing broadcasts. When you're talking about thousands of emails, a fraction of a percentage point makes a difference because of the multiplier effect there, right? So, that was the wrong time of day. You know, people already kind of checked out. And if you're talking about 50,000 emails, you know, a half percent drop in your performance is significant. You know, you see it. But when we're talking about kind of a handcrafted email and it's only a handful of them, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's kind of like, I always like to equate it when a friend sends you an email about getting together this weekend. They might send it at 10 o'clock at night. You're already in bed. Like, you'll see it the next morning. It doesn't really matter whether they send it 10 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock in the morning, or noon the next day, if you're going to pay attention to it. In that case, because of two things, the from line and the subject line. In this case, the subject line is, the if you do it right, it's going to be personalized enough where the time of day doesn't really matter as much. So I think, and Hannah, the other thing I would say is consistency is really what matters. Don't get too hung up on the quantity. Just keep that up. And but let me know, like, if you want to troubleshoot any of this, you know, maybe want me to take a look at what you're sending. Happy to take a look at that, and also you know, kind of who you're sending it to, how many you sent out, so we can maybe go deeper into that if that's helpful. Kelly says, in terms of most valuable so far, how to handle clients who favor hourly billing. Yeah. Ruthie said, your discussions with Lee and Erica about positioning, I'm refining my own right now. Good. Yeah, and Hannah had, she had a good point too. For Hannah, what about scheduling them for the next morning? Yeah, you can also do that. Absolutely. Hannah says, most valuable so far, your wording for responses to clients who want to work hourly. Yeah. Lee says, to be strategic in my marketing and all the positioning help. Great to hear. That was helpful. Erica says, valuable so far, the minimum hourly rate and learning via the Elevate group that it's okay not to know everything, that an attitude of or commitment to continual learning is a good thing. Yeah, so true. Okay, so Jacob has a question. Yeah, it's an open floor right now, Jacob, so absolutely. Let me go back to the other screen. If he says, I've heard you talk about how you become a full-time freelancer. I became a full-time freelancer, and you're able to do really well in your first year. I'm just curious, what did your project workload look like? Was it mostly case studies and white papers? Yeah, let me bring you in. Hey, Jacob.
Hi, Ed.
Hey. So now, is this my first year as a full-time freelancer?
Well, tell me if I know your story, right? So the way that I feel like I remember it is you worked part-time for about 2 years, and mm-hmm. then when you made kind of the leap to go full-time with freelancing, I guess that would have been like your third year doing it, and so that's the year I'm talking about. Is that right?
Yeah. So it was about 27 months of doing it part-time while I had my day job. And in June 2006 is June 1st started my first full year as full time freelancing. Mm-hmm. So that first year, it wasn't one thing, and that was something I found surprising, that I was able to kind of cobble together a 6-figure income with just like a hodgepodge of projects that there was very little rhyme or reason to them. I had several white papers. I think white papers were really helpful for me because they're bigger projects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you got a couple of white papers, that quickly takes your income up there, you know?
Right.
And I think there's a lesson there, guys, in that, you know, it takes a certain amount of energy and creative juice and headspace to start any project, right? But some projects pay $500, some projects pay $5,000, some projects pay more than that. I didn't really see a kind of a proportional increase in that creative energy required just to kind of onboard the client or onboard the project. It was like kind of the same. I mean, maybe a little bit higher with the bigger projects, but I started realizing that, you know, like, I need to fit in some bigger projects into my mix because that not only will get my income up, but it will do it without a proportionate increase in, you know, in effort or creative energy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had white papers. I had case studies. I had a client who I was writing all their case studies, and they were doing 2 or 3 a quarter.
Okay,
had brochures. I had some clients who, man, they just love brochures. And I had a bunch of miscellaneous stuff, can you take a look at our executive bios and edit them, or we need new executive bios, you know, for all these people, not just our senior management team, but also all our area VPs. And so I would do a lot of those kind of offbeat projects. And those, what I liked about this mix, Jacob, is that I learned that I enjoyed the variety, because then my day could be broken up a bit more. Like I don't like to work on long form content every day, every single week. You know, that way I could do a couple hours on white paper A, and then the next 2 hours could be dedicated to like a short copy project that I can kind of whip up pretty quickly. And then I could do research on this other thing. You know, maybe read some of the background materials for this brochure. And I like that. Some people don't. Some people really like to stick to kind of one type of project.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, that's helpful, because we've talked about it before, but I've done lots of blogging and have lots of clients in that area, but I'm just, it's tough to get somebody to pay you a good rate for blogs a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Like, the clients I have right now, it's not bad, but it's not where I want to be. So, I've had some other like case study and white paper stuff come through, and so I'm starting to kind of pivot towards more of that direction in my warm email prospecting. And I was just kind of curious if that was what you found also when you were, kind of making your transition into full-time freelancing, and how that went for you.
I got in the door with a lot of places with things like what I mentioned. Blogging kind of became, hey, can you help us with this too? As opposed to being kind of the loss leader, what got me in the door. Because that's really what blogging has become in so many cases. I mean, if you get in the door with blogging, you hit it right on the head there, Jacob. It's lower paying, and it's kind of production work. You know, the clients just kind of want to get it done and out of the way, and they don't want to pay a lot for it.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to, you can get in the door that way, but it's going to be a little bit harder to get into higher level work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're going to see you a little bit differently, or sometimes the people in charge of that wouldn't be the ones making decisions on something like a white paper.
Right.
You know, so I think you're doing the right thing. I would start pivoting the way you position yourself and the kind of clients you go after and the way you talk about what you can help them with those other types of projects, because it's going to be a tough road. And of course, if you get in the door there, and there's an opportunity to help with blogging, then you can quote something that's going to be truly profitable for you.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely
the reverse.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely the route that I've started to go down. And just like you said too, like I've had clients that I've written for blog posts for a while, and like I said, they pay decent, but it's not great. But when I quote them something for like a bigger project, they automatically get scared away, and they want to go find something cheaper.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's that commodity mentality, and that's unfortunately where blogging has become.
Right.
I didn't see it as much when I was starting out, but you know, it was a totally different time when it comes to blogging. It wasn't mainstream in B2B like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this though, because I want to make sure I don't ever want to say don't ever do blogging or forget about that. I have a previous coaching client of mine. I talked to her a few weeks ago. She has, she's in tech, and one of her clients, well, you're in tech too. One of her clients is a software company, and she's not doing their blog per se. Their client actually has a podcast, and she's taking the podcast, They give her the MP3 files. She has them transcribed, which doesn't cost anything. I mean, it's cheap. And she turns them into blog posts. And she's got a junior writer who's doing it for her. And then she's coming in at the end and just maybe doing a little bit of editing. And she's charging, now these are short, she's like, I don't know, they're about 600 words. She's charging $1,100 each.
Wow.
And I mean, like the transcription costs nothing. She's paying her writer something her writer feels really good about, but it's very little. I want to say that she's keeping like $700 of that for minimal work.
That's awesome.
So, but okay, so that's another example of the other model that I described, which is you get in the door with something else. That's not what they came to her for. She was already doing some other work with her, and then they said, you know, we got this thing and we want to repurpose this content. Right now it's an audio format. So just another kind of thing to think about is you're working with a client. Here's a perfect example. In this case, they came to her, but I encourage you guys to think about your clients' businesses and what they're doing. Like, really explore what's going on, and don't be shy about offering ideas. Not in a pushy kind of way, more in like, hey, you know, I was thinking, I always like to, you know, I always get ideas when I'm walking the dog or doing the dishes, and I was thinking about what you're doing here, and I was curious if you've ever thought about repurposing some of that content, which is great. And we can create some blog posts out of it, some, you know, we can compile some of them into an ebook and that kind of thing. Clients really appreciate that. And guess what? Now they see you differently. Number one, they see you as a trusted advisor. They appreciate you more. And there's a chance that you'll get more work from the client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I've done a little bit in the past, had some success with, but I definitely should start doing that more. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for all the information. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Good stuff. Yeah, so guys, there is money in blogging, but, you know, it's probably not going to be from, you know, getting in the door with the project. So now, I'm also not opposed to doing what you have to do to get in the door somewhere if it's a stepping stone. You just have to be strategic about this stuff. And, you know, Jacob's case, I mean, he's building. I mean, he's building and growing rapidly. So totally. But as you start doing that, that's when you can start shifting your decision making and say, okay, great. I'm already at this level. So I'm happy with it. But now it's not about just pure growth. Now I'm trying to grow more profitably so I can earn more in less time. All right. So open floor right now, guys. If you have anything else, don't be shy. And if you have a second question you've been holding out, I guess we're officially in round two, so ask away. We got time. Yeah, Erica says, love this idea to repurpose content. Yeah, I think that this has become a really good opportunity for you guys. It's offering to help client with content repurposing. And again, many clients, you guys got to keep in mind, I know you know this, okay, so this is just a reminder. Clients are really busy. Let's just take a typical marketing director. Writing whatever they hired you for, that's only part of their job, and they got all these other things that they're in charge of and way too many. Like, they have way too many hats they have to wear. So we automatically assume that they're thinking about all these things, and in a perfect world they would, but they just don't have the breathing room to even think about this stuff sometimes. So I think if you approach your clients with some of these ideas and you do it the right way, and you know how to do it the right way, right? It's, you don't want to come across as, hey, Susan, you're just, you know, what are you thinking? You're not doing this, you know, you're not doing this thing. You really should be doing X. I've been on that side, and I hate being approached that way because the assumption is that I don't know what I'm doing. But if you approach them with, hey, you know, I know you got a lot going on, wondering if you ever thought about doing this, I know that could be a great way to extract more value in what you have. I don't know if that's something you would consider, but I've thought it throw your way. If you come across that way, that's going to be received much, much better. And even if nothing comes out of it, you're building goodwill because they're going to really appreciate that you're thinking about them. And I told my clients, I said, look, I think about you I think about you on the weekends, and I just always thinking about things that, you know, might be able to help you with or add value to what you're doing. And I don't really mean that. I'm very sincere. I'm just constantly thinking. My mind's always on. I can't help it. And I think it also shows in my work, and my clients see that and they appreciate it. So if you're like that, tell your clients, you know. All right, Erica has a question here, and I know feel free to let us know here in the chat. She's wondering if anyone else is doing editing work as well as writing work. Editing makes up more than half my workload at the moment, and I was wondering what everybody else is up to. Okay, yeah. By the way, Erica, I'm glad you brought that up because something is you're pivoting now, and you're getting clear on your positioning. Remember, one of the pillars of the positioning is what you do, right? And maybe this is something we can talk about, but generally speaking, editing is not going to pay as well as writing. So I'm wondering if you factor that into your revised positioning and how you're going to talk about that, and if you're even going to mention that. Again, it's one of those things that doesn't mean you shouldn't do editing work anymore. It's just how you present yourself. If the opportunity comes along and it's right, you know, then I'd say, cool, editing is great. But many times when you position yourself as an editor, that's going to lower the perceived value. Not that it, you know, that it's a lower value activity, but I'm just saying that's the perception. So just something to keep in mind. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like many of you guys do, you know, if it comes along, depending on what it is. Yeah, and it's got to be the right client, the right opportunity. But again, keep in mind that sometimes, you know, you've got to be mindful of this too, right? As you grow and as your income grows more strategically, meaning it's growing and you can now earn more in less time, you want to be really mindful about those seats in your tour bus, right? It's like you don't want to take up, you got six seats. You don't want to bring in three new clients that aren't paying the full fare, right? So because that's limiting your capacity. That's an opportunity cost. So just be careful. You know, it's got to be right. Sometimes, you know, there's more reasons than money, right, to take on an opportunity. I've taken on clients and projects where, you know what, financially probably didn't make a lot of sense, but I either love the person, they were a dear friend and I love what they were doing. I really believed in what they were doing. I believed in their product or service. Or I thought the topic was super, super cool. Or maybe it was strategic in that, you know, this is not something I'm really going to enjoy that much, but having that name in my list of clients, is going to mean a lot. Right. So there's more than one reason to take on an opportunity, and you just got to look at it from multiple angles. Erica just removed editor from her email signature. Wow. Okay. Good stuff. All right. I don't see any other questions. Let's do this. Let's kind of wrap up. I'd love to know, and I know you shared half an hour ago what you found valuable so far, but I kind of slightly different. I'd like to end with two things. If you could type in a capital T, let me know what was a big takeaway today, a big takeaway from today's discussions, you know, the chat discussion as well. And while you're there, also type in capital A and let me know what your top action item is for the next 2 weeks. Okay. I know in many cases, you know what that is, but go ahead and share it here. In some cases, it's going to force you to come up with something tangible. I want to make sure these calls are called momentum calls for a reason. I want to make sure that, if you don't already have momentum, that you start building momentum as quickly as possible. And, if you do, that you continue that momentum and, you got to have something in front of you at all times that you're working toward. Okay. So T for takeaway, one of your top takeaways, and A for action item. Okay. which says, I want to ask questions. My brain is all over the place. Okay, well, cool. Whatever, you know, if you can think of something, and of course, you know, we can continue in, on Facebook too, Ruthie. So, Erica says, top takeaway, the luxury tour bus analogy, shifting my mindset. Yeah, good. Okay. Kelly says that one can get to the equivalent of $250 an hour. Absolutely. Sounds crazy right now, right? Yeah. As soon as you start, maybe don't go right to 250. Figure out where you are right now and set a goal to, you know, 30%, maybe 30-40% of where you are right now, and set that intention first, and then the rest follows. Not that you can just set it and forget it and not do change what you're doing, but I think in conjunction with everything you're doing in this program, that's going to it's going to give you a guidepost to help you put some of these ideas and strategies into action and really get value from them, because now you have something that you're shooting toward. Jacob says, top takeaway, give project rate ranges rather than hourly and continue pivoting to higher paying gigs like case studies and white papers. Absolutely. Erica's top action item, finish my target market exercise. Yeah. Ruthie, my website content is my action, so I can be confident sending people to my website. Absolutely. Makes a huge difference. Lee, takeaway that I need to charge more. Ah, haha, there you go. Kelly, action, do more of the training modules in my action plan. Okay. And Lee's action item, website content to reflect my new position. There you go. Now that you've made your decision, Lee, now you're ready for the next step. Ruthie says, she's asking Kelly, hey, what's your next one so we can hold you to it? This is not a safe place. If you put something out there, we will check back on you. Jacob, top action item, keep up formula prospecting and find case study and white paper projects. There you go. Yeah, Jacob, go where they're already doing it, right? Who do you want to sell watches to if you sell watches? To people who already own watches, right? So keep it up. Hannah, top takeaway, the reminder to stay focused on consistency over volume for prospecting. Yep, and Hannah's top action item, keep going with formula prospecting and see where I am in 2 weeks in case we need to troubleshoot. Absolutely, and you don't have to wait 2 weeks. If you know you want to check in 5-6 days, let me know, Hannah, and happy to help you through that. Yeah, good point. Ruthie is keeping me straight here. Our next call is next week. Yes, so I'm glad you brought that up. So guys, typically we have 2 calls a month. This month, because of the way kind of the days fell, I wanted to throw in an extra call. So that way there wouldn't be a huge gap between now and February. Anyway, long story, I had a conflict in February and I didn't want to wait as long. So I'm throwing in an extra call next week. Same time, same place, same bat channel, 1 o'clock Eastern next Tuesday. And that is the 29th. So bonus call next week. If you want to come in, and of course we'll send reminders and all that, but thanks for reminding me and pointing that out, Ruthie. So yeah, I guess top action item between now and next Tuesday. So now that you guys are all on the hook. All right, guys. Hey, great discussion. Love the diversity of topics. We went deep into some of these things, and I'm glad to see that it was helpful for you guys. So let's continue that in the Facebook group, and I will talk with you guys either way next week. Take care, everybody.